wish him happy Father's Day. What a good day it is to be in church together. My name's Tony, if you're a new person. And this morning, for our Father's Day service, we're going to do some special things that we do every year on Father's Day. Firstly, we're going to host a baby dedication ceremony or two. And just to let you know what we do in terms of how we conduct baby dedications in our church, because every church has their own little style in terms of what they do in presenting children, toddlers, babies to the Lord when a parent wants to have them dedicated. In some churches, they sprinkle them with holy water, and it's a presentation of parents to the Lord in that style, where a baby is baptized by being sprinkled in water at a young age. In our church, we don't practice that. In our church, we do what we perceive to be an understanding of presenting a child to the Lord as Jesus was presented to the Lord after the 8th day that he was born. The Bible says he was taken to the temple. He was handed to the priest. The priest took Jesus in his arms and prayed for him and blessed him. And so in our church, we dedicate children, but not only children, also families, parents, mums and dads to the Lord in this journey of being a family. Anybody that is a leader in a family, every parent in the room understands that you need help to be a good dad. You need help to be a good mum. It just doesn't happen naturally. You need a lot of wisdom. How many people are aware of that? You need a lot of wisdom when it comes to being leaders within a family. And if you have had the privilege of giving birth to a baby, you are a leader. You might not be prepared for it. You might not feel like you can do it. It might be overwhelming at times, but God has appointed you, and not only has he appointed you, he has given you every bit of ability and power that you need to unpack to become a parent and a leader in a family. And so on that basis, we dedicate children to the Lord. So I'm going to ask this morning, first of all, Valani and Kay Panuvi, if they would come to stage with their family, and they're going to present today little Faith Isabella to the Lord. Why don't you give them a hand as they prepare themselves and come to stage right now. Beautiful. Valani and Kay have, along with their family, been attending our church for a few years now. And come right over, guys. And God has given them this beautiful, precious little gift called Faith Isabella to be a part of their family. And she's a great blessing to them. And we're going to pray for little Faith today. You know, this little bundle that God has trusted them with comes today with everything that she needs for life already pre-packed in here. It's kind of like IKEA. There's no Allen key required. There's just a lot of wisdom, though, in terms of unpacking who this beautiful little girl would become. And God has entrusted Valani and also Kay to be parents to her and to help her become everything that God has designed her to be. Every parent that's ever been in this position, when they hold a new baby in their hands, is full of hopes and full of dreams and full of passion and desire for this new life that God has blessed them with. And I'm going to take, try to take little Faith into my arms today. She's dressed up so beautifully. Come here, darling. Oh, this is the first time I've cuddled you. Hello. Come out here and have a look at all the people. Look at all your friends today. And she's having a good look around. She's checking you all out. Give her a wave. Say hello to her as she meets you as friends and family and her church. And she's been coming to church for quite some time. And for some of you, it might be the first time that you've laid eyes on her. But I want you to know she's laid eyes on you already. Already. You know, the truth is, and Pastor Darrell mentioned it when we were around the offering time in regards to Father's Day, that the Bible says that we should train up a child in the way they should go when they are young, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. What that literally means is this. It means that these little capsules, this little human being right here, is unpacking every moment, even right now, unpacking every moment of their soul. And so the way that she thinks, the attitudes, the vibe, the atmospheres that are around her are conditioning her to become her future self. That should, they really should come with a big L plate on them. They're learning constantly. Learning constantly from mum and dad, from brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, learning from the church and soaking so much up. There's so much being formed in this little life. People tell us that study humanity, they tell us that a child in the first, 5 to 7 years is so conditioned that patterns of behavior and thought and feelings and emotions, the way they respond as a human being, is so developed by that stage that it's very difficult in latter life to depart from those patterns. That's literally an explanation and a definition of what the Bible says when it says, train up a child when they are young, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. So therein lies the lesson for every parent. For every parent, that God trusts us for these few years to help form this beautiful bundle to become the beautiful person God has designed her to be. And little Faith here, although she's little, I've got to tell you, she packs a punch. She's starting to weigh heavy on me. Yes, you are, darling. You are. Oh, come here. Come here. It's all right, I'm a professional. I'm a grandfather. And so we're going to pray today. We're going to ask all the family to gather around and Cheryl to come. Let's gather around this little beautiful soul. We're going to ask mum and dad to lay hands on her too, and brothers and sisters as she squirms, and we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful little girl. We thank you for all the love that's in her. We thank you for the personality that you've given her. We thank you for the gifts of God that are planted in her from the day that she was born. You loved her before we ever knew her, and you released her and trusted her to Valani and to Kay and to their family to be responsible for her. And we just pray she'd be blessed. We pray she'd live a blessed life. We pray that she would go on and become a person that would greatly influence this world with the love of God. And so today we dedicate her and we present her to you in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen and amen. I'm going to hand it back to a very proud dad. And before you go, we're going to pray for mum and dad and the family, because this is very much a presentation and dedication of mums and dads, is what this moment is, as much as it is for a beautiful little girl. And so we're going to pray for Kay and we're going to pray for Valani, that God would give them every skill that they need to be the mum and dad that Faith deserves to have, and pray that God would give them all the wisdom they need. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Valani and for Kay today and for their lovely family. And we pray today, God, you'd grant them the wisdom and all the knowledge and all the understanding that they need and are going to need as parents, Father. Provide for them, protect them, God, as they parent. Lord, empower them on the days when it all feels like it's just too much. May you be their portion, may you be their shield, and may you be their provision, I pray today in Jesus' name. So we dedicate the entire family to you, for the plan and the purpose of God to be fulfilled in their lives. Bless mum and dad as they lead this home in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we've got a certificate for you today. We've also got a Bible for you to remember the occasion for little beautiful Faith. God bless you all. We love you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Good deal. How lovely. Secondly, today, I'm going to ask Phoebe if Phoebe Robinson would come to stage along with Jeremiah and Alexander and any other family that are coming also, could come right now also. Phoebe has been in our church for a little while, came to our community fun day, and Phoebe, along with her little family, are involved with Mitch and Dee in their Connect group and have been coming to church as a part of that, and it's our privilege today to dedicate Phoebe's children to the Lord. Come on over here, guys. They're a little bit bigger, so I'm not going to attempt to lift them today because I'm not that strong. Look at you. Love your hair. That is amazing. Beautiful hair. Phoebe, it's lovely to have you as a part of our church, and also your mum and your children. And as we've explained today, a dedication is a dedication of your children to the Lord for them to be blessed, but also for you as a parent to feel empowered to be the parent that God has called you to be. Part of how this works, Phoebe, in a church like ours is all the faces that you see here, all these beautiful people, they kind of want to be your friend. I mean, they don't want to get involved and be nosy in your world, but they want to be your friend in terms of supporting you and helping you to feel equipped and empowered as a parent. So there's a saying that says it takes a village to raise a child, and it kind of takes a church to help families become strong. It takes a church to help families become strong. So not only is God on your side, so are all of we. And we want to encourage you to continue to do exactly what you and Mum are doing, to continue becoming a part of God's church and being involved in it and seeing everyone as your friends and your family. So we're going to pray today for both Jeremiah and Alexander. We're going to pray that God will bless them and also bless you in terms of being the leader of your family. Now, are you going to come and stand down here? Are you come and stand down here with me and kneel down here? We haven't practiced this, so let's see if this works out. You never really know. They say don't work with animals and don't work with kids, but these kids are beautiful. Come on over here and let's see if we can. Do you mind if I pray? And I'm going to ask God to be a friend to you and for God to be good to you and for God to do good things for you. Would that be good? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these two young men. Look at them. They are amazing. They have amazing personality and spark and life and energy, and they keep their mum on her toes. And I pray for these two boys to know the presence of God. I pray for these two boys to know the peace of God. I present them to you today, and I pray you would cover them and that you would protect them and you would watch over them and you would help them to become the fine, young, strong men that God, you have ordained for them to be. I bless them today in Jesus' name. And so now we pray for Phoebe, their mum. Father, thank you for her. Thank you for her heart for you as she's leaning into you more and more every day. And I pray she'd know your presence. I pray she'd know all the wisdom and the understanding that you've prepared to give her. Your word says that life is like a house, and the house is filled with all kinds of precious and beautiful riches through understanding and through knowledge and through wisdom. And so I pray, stand with her, be her shield, be her portion, be her protector, and may your blessing be upon her in Jesus' precious and most powerful name. Amen, amen, and amen. Now we've got a Bible each for the boys, and also a certificate of remembrance for them also. Church, why don't you give them a big hand today? God bless you, love. Good on you, boys. Good on you, Mum. Well done. Give them a big hand. Come on. Thank you.
Good morning. Well, my name is Marichelle. I'm part of the team here. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there and all the influencers and all the role models. So we just honour and acknowledge you today. So today I'm here because I'm going to take a moment to just acknowledge a special dad, like once a year. Okay. Once a year we celebrate all the dads, obviously, and I hope each and every dad here has actually got a ticket. You got a ticket? A lucky door prize? We're going to have a lucky door prize straight after the service. And also, hopefully, you've got a gift, a special gift from us to you, a Brave journal book, because you are brave. And also, for all the dads that came in here a bit earlier, who's got a jelly belly beans? Who loves jelly beans? Yes, well, my husband actually loves them. He didn't do a great job this morning. He nearly lost it, but He's very emotional. He's a snag dad, if I, you know, sensitive. Anyway, I just want to take a moment to actually acknowledge all the dads. We realize that all of you are deserving for all the things that you do, but there's only one dad that can receive a special award today, which is Dad of the Year. So this dad is supportive, loves his family and his church, and has invested all the people around him. He loves all things pizza. He loves all things footy. And owns the best barber in Brisbane.
Oh, yeah.
This dad, if he could stand up on, come up on stage right now, as we call him, Dad of the Year, Theo Petru. Can we all be upstanding, please? We got a little gift for you. Enjoy it. Just stay there. Just relish the fact that, oh, Daryl, could you show him this? You know, I hope you enjoy some of that in there. We try and got you a couple of things that may give you some entertainment. Now, can I just say something about Theo? Theo obviously has two girls, Mia and Elena, and they've got a few things to say. And also the fact that Theo sponsored 5 gift packs for all the dads that could get a lucky door prize. So make sure you stick around because there's some really good stuff in there. See this haircut? Really awesome, isn't it? Done by Theo. So guys, if Theo, I want you to turn around because there's a message for you from your dad, or from the girls.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. Congratulations for winning Father of the Year.
You are the father of our lifetime.
Yes,
all of us.
We wish you all the best. Thank you for being so loving and caring and for treating us so well throughout our lifetime. Thank you for cooking for us because we both appreciate that in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, happy Father's Day, Dad.
Happy Father's Day.
One, two, three. Hey, Dad.
Can we have everybody stay upstanding? Because now's the time where we get to introduce the father of the house, the one that looks after all of you here. So let's be upstanding as Pastor Tony comes up, and let's give him a big hand.
Thank you. Congratulations, Theo. Give him a big hand as he leaves stage. What a prize. Fantastic. Why don't you take your seats? What a good deal. I tell you, that is a much treasured moment to become the Father of the Year at Impact Church. We'd love to give it to everybody because everybody deserves it, but we can only give it to one. Someone's got to be the winner. Someone's got to be the winner. And so this year it's Theo. And for all the dads in the cafe area, hospitality area, we're going to serve you some special things out there straight after the service. The lucky door ticket will be drawn at that moment. So make sure you've got your ticket. Number 3 is a winner chicken dinner right there. Hang on to it. Don't leave. Otherwise you may miss out on a great prize straight after church. Ray and Miette, where are you? Ray and Miette, would you stand to your feet for me, please? On a special day like today, we want to help them. They're celebrating yesterday 60 years of being married. Give them a big hand, a big cheer. What a good deal. Congratulations, guys. What a great effort. God bless you. Why don't you take your seats? That's awesome. If you're getting married, go and see Ray and Miette. They'll tell you how to keep going. 60 years of marriage. Well, what have you done to deserve that, Ray? 60 years. 60 years of marriage. Well, I mean, you don't look old enough to be married 60 years. We're child bride. Unbelievable, Ray. Amazing. 60 years. What a great effort. And we congratulate you on an amazing journey together. Keep going.
Keep going. God bless you. I had an amazing privilege of spending some time with my dad in Bundaberg during this week. We went up there for a little party for my sister and spent a couple of days with dad. And on Father's Day, here I am and he's there. You know, it's a day to be treasured, and particularly as your dads are getting older and older. And they all are, by the way. They're all getting older. And my dad has turned 81, nearly 82. And he's not doing too well. He has bone cancer, and he's in kind of the towards the last stages of that. But he's living life every day, knowing that he's getting closer and closer to be with Jesus. And what a good thing. And I sent him a message on Facebook this morning saying how he's living for the future and facing it with courage. Facing it with courage. And I think that's one of the things that dads do. That dads teach their family that no matter the circumstance you're in, through your example, you can look into the future with courage and keep living. Just keep living. Live every day. Well, aside from circumstance and situations and junk and stuff that comes your way. So it's my privilege today to speak, and I want to speak for a few moments about something that's important to me to speak to you about on Father's Day. And the title of my talk this morning is this. It's called Love Like That. Love Like That. Because I think we all need a model, we all need an example, we all need a window and a picture of how we are to live this life and journey through our life, and particularly as fathers, but not just fathers, for mothers and for teenagers as you're growing up, and children as you grow up to become an adult, to have a model of how to live and how to love and how to serve and the kind of human being that God wants us all to be. And I think we need a love model and a love map, and today for me that is the love of God. The love of God is something that's beyond human capacity to really appreciate and understand. I don't think it's fair for a human being to expect to be able to grasp the immensity of God's love. For me, God's love is exhaustible. It's eternal. It just keeps flowing. It keeps coming. His grace heart towards us as his creation and as his children is so immense. It's so diverse. It's so unexpected is his love. His love is not conditional. It is totally unconditional. It is given to any human being that wants to embrace it, that wants to accept it. God is non-judgmental. He is in no way prejudiced towards anybody. The heart of God is open to every human being. And I love that about the love of God. What I love most about the love of God is this, is that God doesn't love me sometimes. He loves me all the time. He doesn't love me some days. He loves me every day. He doesn't love me in some ways. He loves me in every way. With all of my peculiarities, can't even say that word, with all of my quirkiness, with all of my weirdness and my many personalities, God loves me. In my imperfections, he loves me. And I want us all to understand today, mums, dads particularly, that you are loved by God. You are loved by God because you are God's child and God's creation. In actual fact, the love of God is a whole lot more to do with who he is than who we are. So it's not about our status or our profile that attracts the love of God. It's because of who he is that he loves us, because the Bible says that God is love. Not only does he love, but he is love in terms of his essence. It's naturally who he is a loving personality towards us. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 in the Message Bible. It says, watch what God does. This is what it means to have an example. This is what little kids do to dads and to mums. They watch everything. They observe everything. And here the Bible says, watch what God does and then do it. Watch what God does and then do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Mostly what God does is love you. That's a good thing to remember when you're under the discipline of God, when you feel a little bit overwhelmed in his presence sometimes, is to remember he's loving me. And then it says, keep company with God and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious. Listen to these words. His love was not cautious, but it was extravagant. Can I stop there and say this to every dad in the house today? Don't love your family cautiously, love them extravagantly. Don't be a withholder, be a beholder. Watch them and love on them and love them with all the grace and acceptance and forgiveness and understanding that you can humanly and divinely muster. And so it says the love of God is not cautious, but it's extravagant. He didn't love us in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. That's what a parent does. That's what a father does. They love not to get anything from their children, but they love to give everything of themselves to their children. And then the verse finishes with this, love like that. Everyone say love like that. Love like that. That's how we're called to love. We're called to watch Jesus. We're called to observe Jesus. We're called to take in all of his patterns, thoughts, attitudes, behaviors, and then to display that back to this world and the people that God has trusted into our world. Not to love cautiously, but to love extravagantly. Not to love for what we get, but to love for what we can impart and invest and give to those around us. In Psalm 36, it kind of goes up a bit further and it says this about God's love. It says God's love is meteoric. His loyalty, astronomic. His purpose, titanic. His verdicts, oceanic. Yet in all of his largesse, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. I want you to know today, whoever you are and whatever you feel, you don't escape the love of God. You don't slip through the cracks. You don't get lost in it. God's got you covered. In Ephesians 3:18 in the Message Bible, it says this about the love of God. Paul says, it's a prayer he prays, and he says this, I ask him, that's the Father, I ask the Father that with both feet planted firmly on love, that you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love, that you would know the depth of his love for you. He says, reach out and experience the breadth of it. Test its length. Plumb the depths, rise to the heights, and live full lives, full in the fullness of God. I don't think there's a mum or dad in the room who doesn't want their children to have that kind of expression and experience with them. Where we would see our children test and experience the height, the depth, the breadth, the width of the love that we have for them, so that they would live such full lives and to live in the fullness of who they were designed to be. That's what a parent wants and believes for their children. That's what God wants for us. God doesn't want to limit us. God wants to release us into a life of freedom. The Bible says he's come, Jesus has come to give us life. Not to take anything away, but to give everything to us. That's what love does. Now, knowing all that in my head is different to holding that in my heart. See, there's a lot of things I know in my head. But holding it in my heart is a real challenge. Having a knowledge of it that is theoretical is easy. But having an experiential walking out of that is another matter altogether, because we're human beings. And human beings really grapple with the extravagance of God's love. Human beings really grapple with the acceptance and the forgiveness and the grace of God's heart towards us. It's not easy to hold the tension and to hold close this awareness of how God really feels about us, how he really feels towards us, and what he believes of us. Because the circumstances of life, they so easily cheat us out of being on point with the recognition and the realization of what we mean to God and who we really are to God and the extent of God's love for us, just like it does for dads. It's on days like today we celebrate dads, and children are nice to their dads on days like today. It should be every day. It should be every day. But particularly today, we celebrate them and we honour them. But you know, for every dad, there's days where they don't feel so brilliant at what they do and who they are and how they provide and the example they set, and they feel the struggle and they feel the pain and they feel the worry of it all. We have a mental assent to it, a level of knowledge and understanding, but our hearts so often cheat us because of what life does to us. And I've been thinking about this recently, and Thinking about how people so often distance themselves from the recognition and the realization of God's love. I mean, if we only realized how much he loved us, we'd totally lean into his heart for us. But there seems to be disengagement at different levels for us often as human beings, where people disengage and develop distance when it comes to the heart of love that God has towards them. So I was processing and thinking about that and wondering why that is. And I've got three thoughts for us simply this morning. My first thought that causes that is oftentimes people just feel common. We feel common. We're commoners. We feel common to God. It's so easy to feel common to God when you look at how big humanity is. I mean, there's over 7 billion people on this planet at the moment. So how can you possibly feel special? I mean, how can you possibly feel like you're special to God and that you are a favored one in the eyes of God when there are so many children that God has in the world? How could God be positively jealous for you when you've got so many others to be positively jealous for? And I think this feeling invades many of us. We don't necessarily verbalize it, but we think it. And not only do we think it, we feel it. We just feel like we're ordinary. We just feel like we're status quo. We just feel average. Anyone in the room happy with being average? You don't want to be average in anything. You want to be exceptional. And when it comes to understanding and feeling the love of God, you don't want to have an average sense of that. You want to have a sense of the extravagant love of God, like the Apostle Paul tells us to have. Jesus actually spent most of his ministry working against this attitude of people feeling ordinary, of people categorizing themselves in certain ranks of life, where some are important but some are less important, and in terms of their function and their value. So much of his ministry was spent coming against this human sense and this human feeling of feeling common to God and feeling common in life. In actual fact, the stories or the parables that Jesus told, they were stories to teach us a heavenly truth. Most of them are like Jesus being an attorney in a courtroom arguing his case to tell us how special we are and that we matter to God. Most of it was Jesus trying to impart dignity and belief and purpose and confidence into human beings. Most of Jesus' ministry was actually spent helping people that felt that they were the worst of humanity to believe better about themselves because of who God believed for them to be. Jesus told three stories in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15 that illustrate this. Three stories to pinpoint these truths. And I think these three stories are the climax. They're the pinnacle. They're the top of the mountain truths that God wanted us to understand about ourselves and our lives. And particularly, I want to pinpoint them for every dad in the room today. The first of the stories was a story of a shepherd, where the Bible tells the story of a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And of the 100 sheep, one of them got lost. And the shepherd, the Bible says, left the 99 that was safe to go and find the one that was vulnerable. And that's a story that, you know, I look at that story and kind of think, well, it's a little bit unfair leaving the 99 to go and find the one. I mean, the one wandered off irresponsibly. The one wandered off without thought of the other 99, and yet here the shepherd leaves the 99 and says, you guys are okay, you're already found, and so all my energy now is going to go into finding that one that is lost, who may have been irresponsible, who may have done some silly things, who may have a bit of dum-dum going on in their world. Jesus says, I'm going to go and find that one and rescue that one, because you 99, you're actually okay. You've got each other, you've got family, you've got friends, you've got a church around you, but there's someone out here that's lost, and so my energy is going to go towards finding them. Can I say to every person in the room today, at the times that you feel most lost are the times that God is looking for you the hardest. He's looking for you the hardest. And there's nothing that God will not leave. There's nothing that God will not do. There's nothing that God will not move to find you. To find you and to bring you back to him. God's a God that lives and loves the lonely, the lost, those that have been labeled as dysfunctional, those that have been labeled as distracted, those that have feel like they are alone, far from God, and feel common to God. God is looking for everyone, the lost, the broken and the distanced, and they matter to God. We all matter to God, and we shouldn't feel common. The second story is the story of a widow who had 10 coins and she lost one. Have you ever lost a dollar? Have you ever lost like a $20 note? Have you ever lost a $50 note? You ever lost a $100 note? How many of you would like to lose a $100 note? You ever lost a $100 note? You ever lost something of great value to you? When you lose something of great value, you put on an all-out search. You get all the kids looking. You get the neighbors looking. You ring up your grandma. She comes looking. It's what you do when you have things of great value. I remember the first car I had. It was a Toyota Corona Mark II Coupe Silver. Big sound system. Doof, doof, doof. It was a fully imported motor vehicle, which meant everything on it was expensive. And I was out one day. I used to live in Gladstone, central Queensland, out driving on a country road out near Calliope. Hit a pothole. Didn't have mags, had rims with the nice silver rim that went with it, and it flew off. It flew off. And you know rims, when they come off a car, they fly like frisbees. They just shoo. And this thing, it got lost. I noticed the next morning when I got home that it wasn't on the car. So what did I do? Did I worry about it? Did I panic about it? Was I concerned? You bet I was. I mean, that was my pride and joy. Everyone knows that for a 17-year-old male who's just invested thousands of dollars to buy a motor vehicle, that you're going to look after that thing. That's the most important thing in your world at that stage of life. So I walked out in the morning and saw that my hubcap was gone. So an all-out search was called. Told my mum, got my mum ready. She had her dressing gown on. Didn't even have time to get dressed. Put her in the car. We drove for about half an hour out to Calliope. Found the pothole. Searching through the bushes, through the shrubs, getting all the bindies on us, all to find a hubcap. Why? Because the hubcap was important to me. Did we find the hubcap? You bet we found the hubcap. Because we searched diligently. If you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, Jesus said the door will be open unto you. You've got to be hungry for it. And here Jesus in this story tells a story of a widow that lost a coin. It was valuable to her. And so she turned the whole house upside down to find this coin. Why? The coin mattered to her. In these stories, what Jesus is doing is he's behaving like an attorney in a courtroom, driving home his truth to tell every human being that you matter to God, you're important to God, and you should not feel common to God. You've never been common to God. You never will be common to God, because you are created as God's special creation. And it's not about all being the same. It's not about having a certain standard. It's not about your behavior. It's just about the fact that you are God's special creation, and his inexhaustible, eternal, everlasting, unconditional love has your name on it. It has your name on it. You count, you matter. I think the second reason people feel a distance from God at different seasons in their life is the feeling of feeling alone. The feeling of loneliness, which is an epidemic today among humanity. The feeling of being alone, which is kind of amazing when you have 7 billion people in the world that you can be so alone. Being in a crowd doesn't mean you have lots of friends. It doesn't mean you have family. It just means there are people around you. It doesn't mean you have a connection with them. You know, there's something really special about having a human connection where you feel an affinity with someone, where you feel something special towards them because they're like you, or they bear your blood, your name, they're your family, and you feel at home around them, or they're your friends, they're special to you. But there are a lot of people in this world that don't have that. They don't have family, they don't have friends, and they feel very alone. And the truth is, there are seasons and moments in life where we all feel loneliness and we all feel alone. And it's a battle to fight, and people feel like it's their battle and they've got to sort it out. And we sang that song this morning. This is how I fight my battles. You've got to know how to fight your battles. You've got to know how to fight through the battle of loneliness and the feeling of being alone. I think for many that people, they take on the mindset and the posture in life that sends a message that I have to do this life alone because I can't trust anyone else. I have to do this life alone because people have hurt me. I'm not going to trust people again. I'm not going to love again. I'm not going to welcome that into my world ever again. And the reality is, as human beings, yes, you do get hurt. The reality is, as human beings, people will let you down. But we need to develop a certain toughness about how we live our life and to keep getting up every day and living for the future with a sense of courage and a sense of confidence. You don't have to take care of yourself. You don't have to be that hero. You don't have to have a posture and a mindset that says you do life alone. You've got a God that wants to walk with you. You've got a God that wants to stand with you. God was there when you breathed your first. He's there where you're breathing now, and he'll be there when you breathe your last. He's there all of our days. God is not discouraged by you or with you. He is not disappointed with you. He is with you whether you're happy. He's with you whether you're hurting. He's with you in every season. He's with you in every victory. He's with you in every celebration. You belong to him. Jesus said of this, he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Joel, when we were singing before that new song, that there's another in the fire and there's another in the water standing next to me and holding back the sea, that whole kind of concept of being another. He referenced a story in the Bible of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who were three young Hebrew boys that were thrown into a fiery furnace. And while they were in this furnace, the king that threw them in there looked into the fiery furnace and he saw another person, a fourth man, is what the Bible says, who was standing next to them in the fire. See, these three young Hebrew slaves were prepared to pay the ultimate price and be burnt because of their faith. And yet in that moment, in that fiery trial, the Bible says God stood next to them. You know, there is no fire that God will not stand next to you in. There is no fire that God will not stand next to you in. God was there. There was another in the fire. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, it talks about there being another in the water. It says this, it says, when you go through deep waters. Anyone been through deep waters? Anyone in deep water right now? Anyone up to the neck? Come on, it says, when you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. For every dad in the room today, I'd really love for you to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. There's another in the fire with you. There's another in the water with you. And then lastly, my final thought for everyone in the room today, but particularly dads, is this, is I think people develop a distance with God because often we feel unlovable because of the failure that happens in life sometimes, or the perceived failure, and then also sin. And you know, sin and failure is something that every human being has to learn to, I guess, manage, and to find a way to manage it. And the way to manage it is to have a relationship with God, because God is the only one that can successfully manage the tension of sin, because he takes it away. He takes away the guilt, he takes away the shame, and he takes away the pain. But for us as humans, when we do fail and we do sin, when we do that, in terms of our relationship with God, it causes us to have this emotion and this feeling of rejection by God, when nothing could be further from the truth. You don't need to hide from God. You need to run to God. Because our trouble is we understand love based on performance, because that's our human experience. Like, we'll only love another human being if they perform the way we want them to perform. That's the way humans build relationship. That's our experience and journey of love. It's called conditional love. And God is not into conditional love. He's not into performance-based loving at all. He loves you because he is love. And for us as human beings, we need to look at that model, we need to watch that model, we need to observe that model, and we need to love others the way that we are loved, love others because they are human. We need to love others because they are valuable and special to God, and because they're special to God, they are special to me. So God doesn't love the way that we love. He's never been that way, and he never will be that way. And that's why God closed with the third story in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus told, which is the story of the prodigal son, which we all know so well. The story of a son that was lost to his father. And he was lost to his father because he chose to walk away from his father's house and his father's way and his father's word. And he said to his father, I want your money. I want your inheritance that's due to me. And I want it before you die. I want it now. And the Bible says the father gave him his inheritance prematurely. And the son went off and lived in the city. And he lived a wild lifestyle. He partied every day. He partied every night. He unleashed every passion possible. He followed every lust in life and he ended up eating and living with pigs. Now, for a young Jewish boy and for the Jewish community, the pig is the most detestable animal on the face of the earth. And it's saying to us, that's how low this young boy got to, that he ended up living and sleeping and eating with pigs, the most detestable animal in his culture. Jews and pigs did not mix. And this was his life. And he couldn't go any deeper and it couldn't get any worse. And one day he came to his senses and he thought, I'm going to go back to my dad's house. Because even in my dad's house, the slaves, the servants, are looked after better than I'm being looked after right now. I mean, at least I got a little hut to live in. At least I got some clothes to wear. At least I got some decent food to eat. Here I am with the pigs. And so he went back home. And as he went back home, the Bible tells us that the father was waiting at the gate of the farm. And when the father saw his son walking along the road, he ran towards him lovingly. He embraced him. He engaged with him. He put a robe on his back. He put a ring on his finger. He put sandals on his feet. He threw a party. But the son said, Dad, don't do that. He said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy to be called your son any longer. Just let me be a slave. Let me bow down low. Let me go and live out the back. Let me just be common. Let me feel alone. Let me feel separated from you because this is what I deserve. Listen to the words of the father. The father said, it's not what you deserve. You're my son. So I'm going to put a robe on your back. I'm going to put a ring on your finger. I'm going to put sandals on your feet. I'm going to give you the status of being my son once again. And I'm going to throw a party. You know, the father was just so happy that his son was home. And I want every one of us to understand today, no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, no matter what your story is, God's not really interested in your story. He's simply interested in your presence. He just wants you to know that you belong. You don't deserve to be alone because he came to be with you. He loves you. He believes in you. And regardless of the feeling of failure and sin that you might have, he wants to celebrate you for the beautiful person that he created for you to be. I think in our Christian minds, in our Christian world, and in our churches, I think one of the biggest mistakes in Christianity that we can ever make, and I need to be careful saying this because some will throw rocks at me, but give it your best. Because this is pretty solid, is that we need to make sure that our grace emphasis is greater than our sin awareness. That our grace awareness is greater than our sin awareness. See, here's the issue. Grace does not mean that sin is not a concern. It just means that grace is bigger and it covers it. That's all it means. We can make the mistake of overemphasizing the sin awareness at the expense of having a small grace understanding. And I think these stories, and particularly the story of the prodigal son, highlights for every one of us that God's love is empowered by his grace. That our Father's not wrapped up in what we've done and where we've been. When we come back to him, the only thing that matters is we're home. The only thing that matters is that we're back in the presence of the Father. And I think that there are some men, and not only men today, also women, young people today, teenagers, young adults that need to be reminded of this fact. Not to let these things that I've spoken about today, a feeling of commonness, a feeling of aloneness, or a feeling of failure to convince you that God is disappointed with you, that you're an embarrassment to him, and that he doesn't want anything to do with you. It couldn't be further from the truth. It doesn't matter how messed up you are still very valuable in the eyes of God. You know, a $100 note is a $100 note, no matter how much dirt's on it. It is. No matter how much you tear it and rip it, doesn't matter how much oil you spill on it, or how much you write on it, it's still $100. And you can take it to the bank with an ear of it torn off, one of the numbers torn right off, it still doesn't matter. It can be all screwed up and hardly readable, but you can still take it to the bank and you can change it for a brand new $100 note. And that's the way the grace of God works. People just get beaten up sometimes because of life. People beat themselves up through the things that happen in life, and particularly dads. But for every dad in the room today, I want to say to you that God's love towards you is extravagant. It's inexhaustible. It's eternal. God wants to love on you every day. God wants to walk with you every day. God wants to hold us every day. And God wants to talk to us every day. The Bible says his love is meteoric. Psalm 36. His loyalty, it's astronomic. His purpose, titanic. His verdict, oceanic. And in his largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Can I have our team come to the stage? Don't allow yourself to feel common today. You're not common. You're not common. You're special. Turn to your neighbour and say, you're special. Come on, some of you have been wanting to say that. You're special. You're special today. Don't feel alone today. Don't feel alone today. Don't feel excluded today because of failure, because of sin. But learn to love like Jesus loved, and learn to be loved like we are to be loved by the hand of God. God's proud of you today. He's not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed to call you his son, his daughter. And no matter your circumstance, no matter your situation, I want you to know you have a God that will stand by you, for you, and support you through everything that's going on in your life. Would you bow your heads? Father, we thank you today on this Father's Day for the love you have for us and the sample and the example that you set of love, that you frame it in such a way that, God, it's irresistible. And we want to learn to love like that because our love falls so short. Our love is so fickle. Our love is so conditional. Our love has lists attached to it. But yours, it's simply what you do because it's simply who you are. It's who you are. It's your nature. And we need to learn and want to learn how to love like that. Because loving according to the list is so soul-destroying, where people feel they have to live up to the standard that is often so unattainable. And God, you took that standard away when your son was nailed to the tree on the cross of Calvary. When he paid that ultimate price and laid down his life because he so loved us, you gave us a new way of living. And you instructed us to love just as we've been loved, to forgive as we've been forgiven, to give grace as we have received grace. And the confidence we want to have today is this, is that no matter what's going on, you're right there beside us. Whether there's a fire, whether there's a flood, in the fire I will not be burned, in the flood I will not drown, because God, my God, is with me. That's how every father in the room wants to lead their family, is to love like that. When children walk away, when they live their own journey, that as fathers and mothers in the house, our love for them would be constant, consistent, because they are our own. And we are yours today, God. And we are so, so thankful that your love is not determined by our level. It's also not determined by the devil, but it's determined by you. Help us to walk in that today, in Jesus' name. We're going to lean in for a moment and just finish our service by worshiping the Lord this morning. Why don't you lift your hands as we sing this song, reminding ourselves of who God is and his love and support and presence in our worlds.